Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You're joining us from around the world, over thousands of miles of land, mountain, desert, and sea. You're joining poets from around the world. Welcome home. It's World Poetry Open Mic. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Amadei, here with the other host in a snowy Lakewood, Colorado.
Woohoo!
Yeah, finally. I'm here with...
Almost broke the record.
Almost broke the record, but we knew it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm here with my brother-in-arms and co-conspirator, Mr. J.T. Gunter.
Good evening, all.
Good evening. So how's your week been, man?
Not bad. Not bad at all. It's fairly busy. Work was... It has its ups and downs, so yeah. Like they normally do. But I work in an industry where my ups and downs are based on the market. So,
but they're also pretty mitigated, right? You're in a call center environment where things don't blip too far up or down as far as your experience. It's not like a rescue worker or something.
Right. No, we don't have to worry about that. We do get our big spikes and they freak us out, but
sure. I can understand that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I spent most of the week with with children teaching music, but we're getting ready for Advent programs.
Oh, that's right.
So we're doing a ton of Christmas music. We're also so I'm doing it with everything from 4-year olds all the way up to 6th graders, teaching them songs and rehearsing. We've been doing this for weeks, so we finally set up a Christmas tree in my classroom. And so when they come in, I just turn the lights out and we just have the Christmas tree on. I'm spending my days like that, and just singing with kids, and that's a lot of fun. But today was different, and I'm bringing this up for a reason that means something with the show. Today, everybody just sat down, and we played a game called, The Best Story You Know. And so everybody had to tell us the best story they knew, whether it was a movie, a scary story, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how stories and how things that we share like that, like poems, whatever, are actually some of the oldest living things. We went back to the history of, Cinderella in China, where the fairy godmother was a fish and the princess had the smallest feet in the kingdom. That's how you knew she was a princess. And the, and the slippers were made out of fur. But through a linguistic kind of trick, as the story traveled, the fur somehow sounded close enough to the word for glass. Hmm. So suddenly it became glass slippers. And the fish became a fairy godmother because it was less weird. And so now it just kept, evolving and procreating. And you can actually see this thousands of year long path from these stories. And so we really were talking about just how important the word, verbal stories and written words really are. And including a story about a teacher during the... Holocaust in the ghettos of Poland, which I'll tell a little bit later tonight. But it's something we really spent some time on, this week, and I wanted to kind of bring it up because I feel like that's what we're here about. And, you know, we're this our next show will be our anniversary show after Thanksgiving. But since this is the show we have before Thanksgiving,
right?
I'm bringing it up because I want to say I'm thankful for, well, first of all, I want to say I'm thankful for you, JT, and for the studio you allow us to have, because we do this here in your basement studio.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful to your wife, Christine, for putting up with this every week,
for a while, yeah.
For a while, for years. Yeah. I mean, we're about to hit our 4-year anniversary next Friday, man.
Here, yeah.
That's Woo. Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, 4-year total, right?
2012. It'll be our fourth.
We have done 4 full years. We're starting our 5th year.
Yes.
And I'm just really grateful, but I'm also incredibly grateful for the people who listen to the show and call in and share your work and make this what it is. I'm so just humbled by that, and it really means something. We're trying to do a good job for you, and I'm really excited about putting out this anthology.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be awesome. You just saw the cover yesterday if you were looking online.
I like it.
Do you? Cool.
Yeah,
glad you
good.
Like it, man.
Looks good.
And it kind of ties to the cover from last year, if you look at it. There's some things there that tie together. So, I just want to say thank you to all of you. And I'm thankful, lastly, for stories and for words and even music. Music can be a story itself. But I'm thankful for stories because, as an author once said, they're the only form of escape that you can use where you can be entertained and escape, but come back better equipped to deal with the situation you escaped from. And I feel like that is absolutely true. So, with all that aside, I want to start trying to get into a few things. I'm going to let Poetry News go. Honestly, you know, I was going to do Poetry News. Most of it's just boring as hell. I got to be honest with you. I should start making up This Week in Fake Poetry News or something.
There you go.
Maybe I'll do that.
This Week in Fake Poetry News?
This week, local beat poet rides a whale into the setting sun, therefore telling the man once and for all to piss off. No. All right. I'd be like The Onion for Poetry
there
News.
There you go.
All right. But I want to give a couple ground rules before we start doing the call-in segment, okay? So, number one, no hate speech. No hate speech because, one, we don't need that, more of that in the world. And that actually infringes, that starts to kind of come on JT and I saying, are we putting this out into the world? Are we the ones paying to put this out in the world?
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
So I won't, how about this? We won't sponsor any messages of hate that are put out over this line. So we'll cut you off because we're not going to support it. That's one. Two, and this has been something of some consternation, so I'm going to bring this up quickly. So at one point, we had moved rule number 2, which was no F-bombs.
Right.
Which was created back when we were kind of on we were at another station that had the hard rule as well. We didn't have to have it because it's not FCC regulated, but it was taken off. All right, we put it on, and we took it off a few months ago, and we had a few people talk to us about it, and people we really respect, and they made great points.
Yep.
One being, you know, if there's children listening, let's make it a safe place for them. And then we also had a lot of people we really respect, especially after I brought it up last time, come back and talk to me about, how they really felt like there was a problem with censorship and stuff. Not saying that they're going to go crazy with it.
Right.
Because they're not. But just saying that it's a word, you know, and it bothered them that they were being censored on it. I'm spending a lot of time thinking about this. And I know JT is also. So what I want to offer to everybody listening is this is a work in progress. We're figuring out the right balance here. What I'm leaning towards, of course, I'm with the art 100%, but I also understand as a teacher, keeping it, you know, open for kids. So what I'm leaning towards at the moment, and we'll make a decision, and eventually I think it's just going to come down to JT and I making a decision, but the what we're leaning towards now is, no gratuitous stuff. Just keep in mind that there might be children listening. Gratuitous meaning, any of my, sarcastic porn poems would not cut it, you know.
That,
Lord knows I have many of those. But I don't know. I mean, so if you have ideas, it's not an argument. You're not going to make me angry or make us angry if you send a note. If you have thoughts, other ways to say it, other ways to approach it, let us know. We would love it.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to create something awesome for you. And like I said, this is a work in progress. We respect all of you and all of your points of view, and we want to make it work. Okay, so now I'm going to shut up because I've been talking for a long time. Let's go to the phone line, the number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call for the first segment. All right, so you know the first thing you do is?
What?
I love this recipe.
Okay.
You take these things, you clean them off, no feathers, right?
Nice and naked.
Nothing. Well, you want these things naked.
Okay.
Then you put them in the egg bath, right?
And
you whip up those puppies. Now, you got a bowl with flour and salt and paprika in it, some pepper.
Uh-huh.
You drop those puppies in there. You roll them around, okay?
Okay.
Then you take those things. You put them right in.
Into what?
Into some hot oil under low heat right on a pan.
Uh-huh.
And you know what comes out of that?
What?
The most delicious, amazing thing possible.
What's that?
World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back.
Like a prom dress, we're about to be off to the races.
That's right. So, you know, something with that recipe.
Yeah.
That you should try instead of like the paprika.
Yeah, yeah.
Put Old Bay seasoning in.
Really?
Or on your baked chicken, put Old Bay seasoning. Oh, my goodness.
What's an Old Bay seasoning?
It's got probably paprika.
Probably a bay leaf. Probably.
It's probably got all of it, but it's got this, it's usually used for crab, seasoning crab
really?
When you boil it.
Because I bake a lot of chicken.
Oh.
I mean, like a lot of chicken.
Try it.
Really?
You're going to love it. You're going to go, oh, man.
And what have I been missing?
Yes, and then sprinkle it on like French fries.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Back on the East Coast,
yeah.
Wise Potato Chips, everybody who is on the East Coast might know this, Wise Potato Chips has a bag of Old Bay potato chips.
Really?
They are so good. Sorry.
So, Old
okay.
Bay.
Woo.
Because I got to be honest. I bake, like, and I'm not kidding, an obscene amount of chicken. I almost every meal is chicken for me.
I'll show you the
I have a vendetta against them, so it's more of a revenge thing than a health thing.
That's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Old Bay, if that helps the revenge go down smoother.
I think it will.
Okay. That's and
it
by
gives
the way,
a nice little spice to it.
It
really
is not
good.
Served well cold. It's
no,
just not. You
no,
want
you have to have warm.
Revenge is I like my revenge to be like a hot knife cutting through butter.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But cold revenge, whatever. Unless you got a Heath bar with the revenge, and then it's amazing.
Mm. Mm. That is a bane of yours, isn't it?
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, Heath bar and a, yeah. Anyway, all right. So you know, my wrist has been feeling a little sore recently.
Yeah?
And I think it's because I stopped doing yoga every day. And
okay.
I'm playing piano. I added it up. I'm playing piano for about 3-4 hours every day. And most of it, let's be honest, is ridiculous clown music. So, that's the truth. So, I really kind of have carpal tunnel. I think, I've had this for a while.
Tendonitis. Okay.
So I'm working on it. But that just, you know, when Dennis mentioned it, it reminded me. This has got to be the non-carpal tunnel, syndrome wrist of the mitten state. Let's bring on Michigan and Dennis from therein. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Hello, World Poetry Open Mic.
Hello.
It's Friday night.
It's Friday. How's everything over there by you?
Everything is very good. No snow.
Man, we... You know,
oops, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, it's okay. We're fine with it. We thought we were going to get a little bit of snow yesterday, and it was really coming down.
Yeah.
I mean, it was something. So it's changed in a day. It's really,
wow.
The whole weather has changed, yeah.
That place is a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, and I imagine it's even all the more lovelier with snow.
It is.
More dangerous, perhaps, but it must be beautiful with snow.
It is much more beautiful. It's dangerous, I think, if you don't know what you're doing. We were on the way coming down here. The whole reason we're laughing is I'm talking to Christine as we're coming down the stairs to go to the studio, and JT points at the screen, and it shows a completely flipped truck in a yard. And JT goes, how do you do this? How is this possible?
And honestly, Dennis, there's maybe a total of one inch on the ground, and so it didn't even really stick to the roads. And I'm just like, how in the world do you flip your car? So
it takes talent, my friend.
That's it. All right. So anyway, enough of us going on about the snow. What do you have for us?
Well, first off, you opened up the show. You talked about Thanksgiving coming up, and I would just like to say a couple words about how thankful I am for your faithfulness over the years, for being here for us. I am so thankful you are here almost every Friday night. I am thankful for the sacrifices you have made and your faithfulness to continue. And I just wanted up front to let you know how appreciated that is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That means a lot.
And another thing, in passing, Leon Russell passed away recently, and what a powerhouse he was over the years. So much talent there, and he mixed it up with so many great other musicians along the way. He wrote songs. He played music with just backing up other people, and he's another loss to the music industry, Leon Russell.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. A big one.
All right. With that out of the way, what I'd like to share with you tonight is I'd like to share a cover poem. This is another poem written by our friend in India, Raj Kumar. And the title of his poem is Alas. It starts like this. The wind blows in all directions, never comes back with change of seasons. Rivers flow continuously. Water of high tide never returns in low ebb. Sunshine and moonlight appear to be the same, but depicts different pictures in my mind. Lost childhood, youth under pressure. I wish I could revisit, restart afresh, mend all mistakes, lost opportunities. But alas, no one has time to stop by and listen to my childish appeal. End of poem.
Well, a great read and a great piece by Mr. Kumar.
Yes, and that's in his book, Soul Searching, which is available just about anywhere. So if anyone's interested, it's a great volume of so many different poems, spiritual poems and poems about the society and the kindness to mankind. It's a great collection, and I'd recommend it if anyone were interested in it.
That sounds wonderful.
So I'd just like to thank you once again for being here on Friday nights. And I will pass the mic on to the next poet. But before I do, I'd like to say God bless.
Hey, God bless Dennis. Thanks so much for everything.
Thank you.
All right. Good. Talk to you in the return engagement. All right. That was Dennis from the Wrist of the Mitten State.
Yes.
Hopefully that wrist is also covered by the mitten.
I think it pulls down just enough.
I've seen some ridiculous mittens. Some ones I swear have been designed by Victoria's Secret or something. It's just the tips of the fingers.
It's just the tips?
I've actually... Wait, I think I just came up with a whole new business idea.
That is a really weird glove there, mister.
Have you seen the ones that are the hats that come down and then they're also
the
gloves?
Yeah, they have the gloves, yeah.
That is ridiculous also. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to talk about something with a silhouette that's going to make someone look like a monster?
Yeah.
That's it.
That is true.
And the moment I start seeing monsters is the moment I start using my Kung Fu Fury. And that is how I end up, unfortunately, possibly in the future, beating up large amounts of children. Not on purpose.
I think they're monsters. I get it. Right.
I posed a rhetorical question to the seventh grade today.
Uh-huh.
When this would have to be a seventh grader to make it a rhetorical question. I said, what if there was a zombie apocalypse and the only people who were impervious to zombie bites were killer clowns? And so they were fighting the zombies because the only thing they hate more than humans are zombies. Which side would you fight with?
Ooh.
Yeah. They didn't
that's
have
tough.
An answer.
That's,
I know, it's rough.
Tough.
It's rough. All right, let's go to Lorraine. Speaking of rough, no. I'm kidding. Lorraine, are you there?
How can you laugh with all that snow? If I was watching the Weather Channel, you must have it.
Hey, you know what, Lorraine? It's called gallows humor.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called. We laugh when the things get tough. Hey, we're in Colorado. This isn't much.
You know, I would love to build something out of your snow.
Really? I'm trying not to take that in a dark direction.
No, don't do it. No. You can take it any way you want.
All right.
I had something I read a year ago, and it's one of my favorites. So I'm going to, if you'll indulge me, I'm going to read this again.
All right.
It's called "It's the Little Things That Make Me Smile," like a wrinkle-free shirt or a homemade dessert, the excitement of youth, the wisdom in truth, a clean linen sheet, a full night of sleep, a summer iced tea, the shade from a tree, the scent of a candle, its flickering light, the sky painted sunrise, the velvet of night, the first bloom of springtime, a calm, serene sea, a somber memorial, or a moment of glee, the freedom of flight, a bird gliding high, the breath of a baby, a lover's soft sigh, the smell of a new book, the sound of a train, a beautiful bride, a city with rain. These things that bring happiness may appear small, but strategically timed, they're not little at all. In poem.
I like that one very much.
I like that too.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Picks me up.
Does it?
It does. Certain things you hear and you're left at a level emotion. Other things you hear and they really bring you down. This thing kind of picks me up. It's one of those, you know.
Yeah.
I read to my cat all the time and she smiles.
Well, that's good.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day because I realized that, you know, occasionally I'll get cranky. But it's not really cranky. I'm generally in a pretty good mood usually. And
yeah.
I was thinking about it and why that might be, and then I decided this last week to count the amount of hugs I received from children.
Aww.
Right? And here's my theory. I was actually gone one day because I was at a seminar the full day. This week, 167.
Wow.
Did you really? You counted them?
Well, and that's...
And didn't that pick you up?
Oh, and that was the thing I was counting. I'm thinking, this has to be something to do with it. You know, when you get these signs of affection and just these little tiny moments of connection, you know, that's a lot
for
of...
For absolutely no reason, just, you know, let me hug you,
I'm really good at giving the side hug, Lorraine. I'm really good at, shifting the hip and hip check. Yeah, it's a hug.
Sure your wife's thrilled about that. I agree with you. I love kids, and I don't have any of my own. Never did. Was career all my life, but there's something about having a hug from a child, and kids seem to look at me. You know, I'll be in the grocery store, and they'll look at me, and I'll smile at them, or I'll wink at them, or I'll, you know, and they kind of, you know, they hide their face, but I know they're reacting to it, and it's such a good feeling to know that. Number one, you're acknowledged. Number two, you do mean something to the rest of humanity. You know, it's not just, we're not just here. We're here on a mission.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We're on a mission from GED.
We're on a mission, yes, absolutely.
Lorraine, thanks so much. And,
you're so welcome.
All right, it's great hearing you on a snowy night. I'm going to go out after the show, and I'm going to build a weight set out of snow and start lifting some weights. So,
well, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah,
until it starts melting.
That's how real men do it.
That's our real men do.
Yeah,
it
we
all.
Got.
Okay.
Yeah, if you don't.
Okay,
if you don't,
see, that's where I went wrong here.
Yeah, see, if you don't have if you don't have an ice tan after working out outside. By the way,
oh, there's nothing like an ice tan. Oh my God, there's nothing like an ice tan.
Wimps call
that orange
frostbite.
Glow, you know, that trumpet glow, you know, the Trump thing, and oh God, with the hair and the ears and the huge.
Part of that is
I love it.
You know what? Hey, I have so little hair. I wish I had that hair. So that's part of why I'm going to go out there. Put hair on
Well,
your
maybe
head,
you'll
kid.
Grow some.
Maybe I'll grow some hair. Finally.
Just hope it's
I'm
in the
hoping
right place.
For puberty, Lorraine. All right. Thank you so much. We'll
okay.
We'll catch you
I just want to ask you one question. What was the first letter that you gave me on the address? Was it one or I?
Oh, neither.
Neither.
Can you give her the first number?
The first number is a 3.
Oh, it's an E?
A 3.
3.
As
one,
in
two,
a 3. I'm doing
as
good.
In the third letter of or third number. As in C would be 3 in the alphabet.
Okay, 3 and then the rest I got.
Okay.
I think there's the numbers after that I have.
Okay.
But it's the 3 was the one I was having a problem with. It looked like an 8, and I didn't know if it was a 1, and I didn't.
It's a tricky
one. I was
one.
A little, you know. So thank you very much.
No problem.
All right.
No
thank
problem.
You, Lorraine.
Thank you.
Mucho gracias. And have a wonderful dream night, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Good.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. All right. Take care.
And that was Lorraine from New York. I love hearing from her every week. Have a wonderful dream. What a great way to say have a good night. If I say that to people, they'll think I'm like trying to do the Man of La Mancha thing or something. All right, let's head across the ocean, the deep, all the way to Titus. Titus, hello, how are you?
Good morning. Yes, very fine, thank you. Because of this show, I call it morvening. So.
And I actually have stolen that term. I by the way, I love that.
Yes, I'm quite happy about that invention.
You should be.
Well, two lovely poems so far. So much feeling in. And I agree with Dennis that we tend to appreciate things too late, I guess. And yes, we do appreciate you. Every week, if I can get up, that is.
So, well, course, we appreciate you very much.
Well, I think I should continue with another Feely poem.
Right.
It's called Her Prayers Are What I'm Seeing. I close my eyes the moment next explores the love of my being. She beside me. I'm fond of seeing beauty of the inner side of me. The vows to our marriage seal. Make safe in worship and prayer. I am conscious of the prayer. God whispers, silence next. Embroiled in his secret seal. Feeling loved as the sacred being. The infinite reflection of me. One could find now seeing. Our love is filled by seeing. To believe and believing prayer. The movement of our being me. Oh no, the computer's going to close down, I think. Voiced by air, improvement next takes rise. Delight was our being seen, the love of our two-word seal. Covenant is the holy grail, a seal, I said, depiction of our seeing. Defined from deity, both being aware the graciousness of prayer, evolving as many souls appearing next. Love symmetry above all for me. Now this one, and for all, shows me the creation, God, the waxen seal, the grand illusion. Fantasy I'm seeing, orbs of surreal whereabouts as next as mistranscribes our prayers, aims close to calling a now star being, too bright to find the mystery being I will hope that God will show me, since the faith I doubted did a prayer become the new real me to seal, my fate was having next started, a doubt my own existence seeing. Love is blind, being that I conceal my eyes to me. My faith comes next to find the prayer my love is seeing. Thank you.
It's a gorgeous piece. Titus, that was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Wow. This is part of why I enjoy doing this on Fridays, you know, JT?
Oh, yeah.
This is really something.
All right, and that was Titus from the UK. We lost him before I could finish.
It's okay.
Titus, anyway, thank you so much for that. Yeah, that was really absolutely piece. Wonderful. And yes, I just saw Don put something in the chat room. I do want to do a shout out here as well to our friend Lausanne.
Yes.
She is right now. She's okay. She's just recovering. But she's in a hospital room right now listening to the show. And we will have a bit of a tribute. I think I'm going to read one of your pieces a little bit later this evening. But from now, or from here, from the moment, from the present, from the past, depends on when you're looking at this. If time travel is possible, I don't even know when you've come. But I'm good at this. So let's travel back across the ocean to the sweaty southern regions of the United States to Fleorda and Diane. Diane, how are you?
Uh-oh.
Diane.
Diane?
Hold on. I'm here.
We're here. We're holding on.
Apologies. I had the mute button on my little radio thingy there.
I don't blame you.
I do that at work all the time.
I'd be trying to mute us too if it was me. I'd be like, mute those guys until it's time. No. How are you?
I am very good. How are you all?
Doing well. Did you just come back from a date?
No, sir. I did not. I abandoned my date for tonight. I was through to WPOM.
Hey, you gotta make him earn it sometimes, you know?
He does.
Good.
Very good. Happy to hear that.
Okay, I have a couple of choices here, and I would like to ask your advice on which one we should perhaps read first.
Okay.
Okay. I have a very, very good friend in the garden in my poetry group. He's my bestie. His name is Bob Williams. Bob has told me that I am welcome to read his poetry at any time.
Okay.
Y'all were talking earlier about ghosts and evil clowns and such as such and such and such. So I have a wonderful poem of his from last week. Or I have my lovely little flowery poem from last week. Which one would you guys like first?
Well, you know, let's... you want to start with the clown one?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, let's start with the clown time. Let's get the clown down.
Alrighty. Okay. Bob Williams lives in Buffalo. He is a teacher, both college level and high school in English. So this is entitled Abandoned Amusement Parks Whisper in the Soft Echolalia of Dead Clown's Prayers. Forgive me. Okay. It's midnight here on the farm. Dark wind blows your corn. Cold things ask your hands. Almost words whisper in wind. They call you to sleepwalk again in fields farmed nowhere near water, where whispering scarecrows crawl through dark husks scattering straw across corn. Dead clowns at the foot of your bed, floating, floating, whispering low. They say, come with us, come with us. And voices like corn husks, lingering longer than laughter, less than a prayer. The scarecrows scattered lost canticles, can't chant cold corn into growing. The dead take your hands, the dead fly you up to the moon, where ghosts, given to sorrow, love everything lunar, and heavy souls float over the air, boundless, fearless, and free. For them, there is grace and simplicity, the lonely moon sailed reciprocity. The way that nothing gets everything back, deep in the cold, darkest cavities. That won't echo emotion to my matterless soul, moaning only in low, sotto voice. But there's no air here. There's no air. Your mouth opens, closes and opens, puckering up for an oxygen kiss that won't come. Ghost clown, forget the living need air. Breath inhaled in and laughed out. Seen you gasp, they remember and float you back down through space, past the whispering cornfields, waving in wind, down to your own epicenter. To hover over heartlands abandoned because you're not in Kansas anymore, but in an amusement park, dark cardiac cells, moon cold, close down in waterless. where blood red dust rains on crushed roller coasters and carousel seedings crush on cracked, crippled horses. Nobody rides in this park anymore. Nobody rides in this park. But somewhere a clown becoming a ghost leaves warm flesh behind in a mirror, repeating amen to cold broken glass. Grown claustrophobic and soulless, a sum of broken mirror's reflections, horrified by his own shattered visage, he can't unpaint face paint with tears, and finds himself more pissed than Bozek, who can't escape Echo, mocking him, mocking him, lost through the hallway of mirrors. You know it's time to light up this park. You know it's time to be clowns. You know it's time to eat fireflies and bite into cold bread left out at night. Sandwich lost phosphorescence in between shadows. To swallow something like stars once again. It's time to take your own ghost hands, to let it relearn laughter in wide open fields. To recycle calliope songs from dead carousels, to sweep up the glass from this hallway of mirrors, grind it under your feet and walk on. To ride roller coasters out from under their rust, down into the ruts, up over their hills at night, and ride Ferris wheels forward in unscenic circles, picking slowly, not to oblivion, but out to billions of stars. Now, nostalgia is not ages ago, but ageless and now, as you are both grown up and child. So open the rides in your heart tonight, and as you ride them, redefine living. If gelophobia is fear of laughter, and coulrophobia is fear of clowns, make gelophobia a word, a violation of language, all the Greek to you now, laughed out of your lexicon, launched up to the moon, to expire unuttered in space, as the ticket takers at the gate of your heart, give out all day passes for free.
Well, thank you for that, Diane. I have to be honest. We heard about, I don't know, what would you say?
Most of it.
There's something going on with cell interference, so some of your words were clipped off. I'm just letting you know.
This is the second time this has happened, guys.
Yeah, I know. And it's nothing, I think, on our end, but there may be something we can do with some little technique we can use that'll work, but I don't know.
I'm doing this from my computer, not on cell.
I'm doing this
through Skype.
Oh, you're doing it through Skype? So maybe there is something we can figure out then.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering if there's a compression issue or something like that that happens. So we're going to dive into it and see if we can help figure something out.
But
okay. My next one will be much shorter, guys, if I make it on the second round.
No, that's fine.
I say that all the time,
No, I'm just so very sorry because it's such a splendid poem.
It is.
I'm sorry that y'all missed part of it.
And Diane, just to let you know, I can hear all of the words. It's just like the volume drops down and then comes back up.
So
that's weird because I've got the volume all the way up.
And that's why I say I don't think it's on your end. I think it's a mix between, I think it's really Skype that's doing this.
And Skype does do that kind of thing.
But I think I've got a technique on my end that'll help with this. But the poem was good. I really did enjoy.
What we could hear. So, yeah, for sure.
Oh, I know, but still, a lot gets lost in the transmission, so I'm sorry for that, guys.
No need to apologize at all. We're all in this together. Yep. Diane, thank you so much for everything, and
we'll see if we can get it handled.
Hey, bless you, too. Thank you. All right, and that was Diane. We're battling a little bit of tech stuff. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. That was Diane all the way from Florida, you know, that state.
Yep.
I should totally go into state marketing. What do you think? Florida, that state.
Become part of the tourism board on every single state.
I should do that. That'd be part of my plan for world domination. You know?
Dude.
Delaware, dropping the D. You know?
Yeah, it could. It could work.
You know? California, home of the... Never mind.
Okay.
I was going to go somewhere else I shouldn't go. Ooh. All right. So, from there, let's go to another warm place. Probably warmer than where we are right now.
Yes.
Let's go to Arizona. Mary, are you there?
No, not in Arizona. Not
all right.
Arizona.
You're what? You're in Florida. You're not in Florida. You're in Arizona.
I don't know where I am. You guys are supposed to know.
Oh, where are any of us? I don't know where we are. Where's the Milky Way? I don't know where that is.
I opened the door. I don't know where I am.
Yeah.
No, I'm used to being very cold.
Well, I don't even know if these are my pants.
Freezing. The pumpkins have frozen over, and you're looking at the icicles. You know, that's what I'm used to.
Wait,
and
you still have pumpkins? Yeah.
Now my daughter and I fuss and fight because it's 65 and we got to put on a sweater.
That's true. Yeah, that's the thing. That's a real thing.
Oh, I'm sorry to laugh. I'm so sorry to laugh for those of you poor people. You know, unless we fall off the earth, come to Arizona, there's plenty of room. God, there's so many mountains and desert. There's so much room, you'd never believe it.
So many rattlesnakes to battle with your bare hands. There's all kinds of adventure waiting for you.
I did happen upon a homeless man the other night walking my dog on the grounds.
Wait, your home a homeless man was walking your dog? Why do you have your dog?
I thought it was a bear.
Oh.
I almost peed my pants. Of course, my blind dog walked right by like it was dead. And then all I could muster was, I'm really sorry. And then I made sure he wasn't dead. Or you know, out of it, like I was worried about his breathing, and then I just went on my way.
So let me get this straight.
The Arizona goes on.
Okay, so do bears walk your dog often?
I walk her often. We see so many things. That could be a whole nother topic.
That could be a poem right there. A bear pet sitting service that ends badly for everyone.
There's so many dogs out here. They treat, you know, on a serious note, the life of the dog out here is a lot better than the life of the dog in Wisconsin.
Well, that's
and
good
the
to
life
know.
Of the human in my condition out here.
Yeah.
If I could swear, I would, but I'm going to just say a hookah, 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 a whole lot better than any kind of life I could have ever mustered in my dreams in Wisconsin.
Really? So you would say Arizona is greater than Wisconsin?
In any terms of soulful life for me, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
In terms of soulful life for anybody in kind of pain who can get to a warm, arid climate,
yeah.
Get over here.
Sure. I get that.
I understand that.
Absolutely. But if you have a hankering for tons of cheese...
You know, I'm if someone brings some curds and comes on a plane, I swear I'll take my llama over there to quote the chat room and go get them.
I was just going to say, let's just leave it there because that's fantastic. All right, so what do you have for us, Mary?
Okay, I might sing later. I have a love poem because it's all about love for me.
All right.
That's what healed me. That's what's guiding me, and I'm writing. This is by Elizabeth Browning. She lived from 1806 to 1861. It's not very long. I'm going to play a little Handel in the background because, you know, me and music. And here we go. Indeed, this very love, which is my boast, and which, when rising up from breast to brow, doth crown me with a ruby large enow to draw men's eyes and prove the inner cost. This love, even, all my worth to the uttermost, I should not love withal, unless that thou had set me an example, shown me how, when first thine earnest eyes with mine were crossed, and love called love, and thus I cannot speak of love, even, as a good thing of my own. Thy soul hath snatched up mine, all faint and weak, and placed it by thee on a golden throne, and that I love, O soul, is by thee only, whom I love alone, and home.
I enjoyed
now, how
that
can
one.
You beat? How can you beat a love poem? Tell me that.
Well, with the shovel, I found is probably the most effective method.
I don't need that anymore unless I'm burying it, my dog, you know, who's 10 now, but I thought she was 13, so I'm happy.
Hey, good That's news. Good. Technically, with dog years, you just went back 21 years.
Yeah.
Honest to God, she's going to be with me so much longer. I weep with joy.
It's good.
No, Mary, that was wonderful. Thanks so much.
Onward, upward. I'm listening to the next.
And sidewards.
All right.
Yes, and downwards.
All
right.
All of that.
Upwards, downwards, sidewards, backwards, forwards. All the words. Thank you, Mary. And that was Mary from the warm and arid state of Arizona. You know what? That'd be another thing. I could say, as a state tourism thing.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
You could actually make it official that any time someone said the word Arizona, they had to say it like this. Arizona. Why not?
You know what?
Every single time.
You're right.
You know, it's like, Arizona, land of Zorro. And then California would get mad, and then you could have a thing. And it
That would start a weird war.
Alaska, Burl Ives, you could license that. Silver and gold. See?
Yeah,
Sarah Palin.
Sure.
You know, why not? Okay. So, I'm actually going to do two things because I completely messed up at the beginning of the segment. So, I was supposed to read a submission.
Yeah.
So, I think I might have to get some sort of reminder in the form of like a bow and arrow or a pellet gun over to give JT.
I'll work on it.
Does he sit there like, dude, are you going to do it? And I just didn't do it. So, we're going to do this quickly. This is from Steve Junka.
That's right.
It's a short one. It's called Bravery. I walked among heroes, it's true, but the bravest person I ever knew was my mom as we said goodbye. Yet at the time, I did not know why. She knew the uncertainty of war I would see. I thought to myself, I won't change. No, not me. She knew things our youth blinded us to see, that her boy would soon cease to be. Yes, we grew up fast. It did not take long. We lost our innocence. We lost our song. Yes, the bravery she showed back then, I have reflected on again and again. And this is the postscript. At the airport coming back home after my tour, Mom outrun everyone to greet me first. She outrun both my dad and wife to greet me first. This was written on Veterans Day of this year. That was from Steve Junka. It's called Bravery. Steve, as always, thank you so much for everything you contribute to our show. It means a lot, and we love your work.
Yes.
Keep sending it, and telling people to send things in to us also. We'd love it. If you want to contribute to the show and have your poetry read by myself in this voice, no, or maybe in a better voice than that.
Probably a better one.
Maybe not my foghorn leghorn voice. I'll say.
That would be bad.
Probably would. I was working on at one point an impersonation that crossed Foghorn Leghorn and Obama.
Ooh.
And I'll show you off the air sometime because I might unveil it sometime soon.
All right.
But if you want to have your poetry read this way, if you just can't call in, you can't find the time, or you really don't want to call in, you can put it in the contact form on our page or just send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com as a submission. All right. Yeah. So from there, one other piece of house cleaning.
Yes.
I want to take care of. Now, I'm just going to announce it. But since we've been having these issues with the email,
okay.
I thought, screw it. How about I just say who the AKA Poet of the Month is, even though he did a lot of other things than just poetry.
Okay.
He only did actually a little bit of poetry.
Because the email's just not working right.
Well, I was having issues. I'm still going to send it out and see if it makes it work. But I figure, let me just do this so no one misses it.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds fair.
All right. So, the World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month for November 2016, even though we're giving it in the middle of the month, whatevs. He was born on November 11th in 1821 in Moscow, Russia. He died in January 28th
1881 in St. Petersburg, Russia. All right. Fyodor Dostoevsky, wonderful writer. He wrote Crime, Punishment. He wrote Poor Folk, The Double. He wrote all kinds of amazing work. If you haven't, Memoirs of the House of the Dead, you know, Notes from the Underground, things that are just great, incredible pieces of Russian literature that I really recommend going out and reading if you have not so far. There's a lot of information. I'll post something up on our page here probably by the time that the podcast is up tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that way you'll be able to find out more information. But if you can find a passage of his that you would like to read, that can be accepted instead of a poem. He did some very sparing poetry, but his work itself, even though most of it is prose, is so poetic in many ways, in ideology, in phrase, that I think it really fit. So, Fyodor Dostoevsky is the World Poetry Open Mic. World Poetry Open Mic, that's a lot to pronounce.
It's okay.
Poet of the Month, November 2016.
All right.
All right, so let's head into the second segment. Number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Christine?
Yes, Michael?
You know what you get when you throw four chickens in a bathtub?
Pure poultry.
That's right. World Poultry Open Mic.
That's nice.
You gotta wonder what happens if you threw a bunch of Old Bay in the bathwater. You know what I mean?
Mighty tasty poultry.
Yep. Pure poultry. All right. That's ridiculous. So
it is.
All right. So everybody, I would like to thank you all for stepping up and really calling in. We had a total of two callers on that segment.
It's okay.
That's okay. What that means is we're going to go through it, and then we're going to go to the return engagement. And we'll get there faster, but we're also going to have a Studio X performance in between. But in the meantime, I'm going to read a submission like I should have during the first segment.
Right.
This one goes out to our friend who's sitting in a hospital bed in Canada, many miles away. This one's called The Business of War, and it's by Lozan Yalmoki. Lozan, I'm very sorry if I'm destroying your last name there. War is a successful, legitimate business. It is legal. It is politically lawful, and it is profitable. It employs people. Many, many people. It makes a nation known internationally. It bullies weaker nations. They bow in fear. War is managed and calculated precisely, like a well-oiled machine. It makes manufacturers and decision-makers wealthy beyond anyone's wildest dreams. War is but a business. It fills streets with blood and skies with smoke. It displaces people. It does not discriminate. No age, no gender, no color, and no faith are spared. It starves. It wounds and slaughters, creating widows, orphans, even dismembered body parts. It destroys lands, sometimes rendering these lands uninhabitable. War poisons waters, earth, and even our skies. Yet, the weapon manufacturers and decision makers eat the finest foods, drink the purest waters, have all their families with them, safe and whole. Those leaders, those decision makers, travel with guards protecting them from any harm. Every night they sleep in their warm, comfortable beds, undisturbed. And that was The Business of War by Lozan Yalmoki. Lozan, wonderful, wonderful piece. And I think a very apt point. Mm-hmm. All right. So from there, let's go to someone we know definitely would agree with some of the sentiment here. This is Barbara in Connecticut.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting better. trying to get better in my body, but unfortunately my mind is not focusing too well these days because of certain events, which I will not discuss, but which have made me very, 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 very to the nth degree angry. So.
Okay. Oh, you and your emotions.
And I don't think I'm the only person in this world that is feeling that way.
Probably not.
It was like last year, it was a collective, like a bunch of voices rose up collectively and just said, but our feelings.
Yes. I don't like these feelings. I don't like to feel angry. You know, I don't like them.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So I'm trying to swallow them, do stuff. I can't just keep coming back. So. Anyway, I'm really angry about this and sad at the same time. Leonard Cohen passed away.
Yeah.
And I saw him in Radio City Music Hall must have been like five years ago with my husband and daughters, and it was a wonderful night. And so I'm going to read one of my favorite of his songs ever, Famous Blue Raincoat. And here goes. It's 4 in the morning, the end of December. I'm writing you now just to see if you're better. New York is cold, but I like where I'm living. There's music on Clinton Street all through the evening. I hear that you're building your little house deep in the desert. You're living for nothing now. I hope you're keeping some kind of record. Yes, and Jane came by with a lock of your hair. She said that you gave it to her that night that you planned to go clear. Did you ever go clear? The last time we saw you, you looked so much older. Your famous blue raincoat was torn at the shoulder. You'd been to the station to meet every train, and you came home without Lily Marlene. And you treated my woman to a flake of your life. And when she came back, she was nobody's wife. Well, I see you there with the rose in your teeth, one more thin gypsy thief. Well, I see Jane's awake. She sends her regards. And what can I tell you, my brother, my killer? What can I possibly say? I guess that I miss you. I guess I forgive you. I'm glad you stood in my way. If you ever come by here for Jane or for me, your enemy is sleeping and his woman is free. Yes, and thanks for the trouble you took from her eyes. I thought it was there for good, so I never tried. And Jane came by with a lock of your hair. She said that you gave it to her that night that you planned to go clear. End poem.
Really enjoyed that one. Thanks for the read, and you know, he really will be missed, won't he?
Can't hear you.
You cannot. Hello? You cannot hear me?
No, not loud. No, not enough. Not loud enough. So I was so sad. So, yeah. So sad.
Yeah.
You know, everything else, Leon Russell also passed away, like Dennis said. And I remember seeing both of them. I saw Leon Russell very young I was very young, so I remember him. And, oh, God, just so sad. It's not fun getting old and seeing everyone pass away.
No, it's not. Not at all.
So anyway, that's, you know, that's what I read for now. You know, I thought I'd read a cover, and especially in tribute to him.
Because it was good. Thank you, Barbara. It was really good.
He deserves it. I hope I gave it, you know, the right. I hope he would have liked the way I read it.
I hope so, too.
Anyway, I'll call back later.
Sounds good.
Wonderful.
Next segment.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. And that was Barbara from Connecticut throwing down some LC.
Is that what he's known on the street as?
That's what Snoop Dogg calls him.
All right. Fair enough, I guess. I don't know. So.
Yes. Well, so now we're going to go to a poet who is just intercontinental, has a mustache, loves tango, and all the women are obsessed with him. It is Felipe.
Hey.
How are you, sir?
The infection has cleared up.
Oh, that's good.
That's good to hear.
Euphemisms, tumescent. I still have no stocks nor bonds, but I worry not. I'm doing well, sir.
Wonderful.
I really am. And it's good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
And I'll be very quick. This is my one little, minor, infinitesimal little recommendation or suggestion.
Sure.
From a very fat man with a huge beard on his face currently.
Yes.
With regard to this issue that I've been throwing my little tantrums about, and you must be a very patient teacher, sir, because I can throw some tantrums, and I just feel like I'm wasting your time when I'm spilling all my little feelings and whatever. So,
not at all.
So here it is. The hate speech goes without say, no doubt.
Okay.
And then I think at some level we want to make it sort of, we're in a house of art here, folks. Mm-hmm. We're taking this stuff seriously. So respect the house. We're the papas here, or the mama and the papa. I don't know how you guys want to word that. But we also got a gong in this house, a big old gong. And if we think you're disrespecting this house for whatever reason, we're going to gong you. Get out. Get out.
Great.
And that gives you the options of getting all kinds of interesting sounds to make that gong, whatever that may be. And then that will generate talk, man. People will be like, such and such was on that radio show, and they got gonged. Can you believe they got gonged?
I think that's a cool idea. I like that. That's definitely something to take into the thoughts there. It's a fun way to look at it.
Indeed. So that's just my little whatever.
Okay.
So there you go, my friends. And I only bother to think about all this because I care about you guys.
I care
about the show. I care about my friends. Even if I am, sarcastic and whatever, that just means I love you. I care about you.
We know it, man.
I don't know how to be no other way. So there it is. A rat.
Love it, man.
Cheers to that. So we'll get to it. Here we go. I meant to read this last week after the whatever, blah, 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 about the election. This is about as close to politics as I could get at that time. And a little added little notes that are not that important. I'm basing my pronunciation of Sinope on, I think, a moon of Jupiter, because Sinope no longer exists really in current geography. So I doubt that makes any hill of beans one way or the other. And when I say airy, I don't mean eerie. I'm saying airy as in, a bird of prey's nest. So there we go. I don't know if that'll help, but that's what was intended. All right. Buttressing cynicism in latter-day Sinope. Here we go. Terror and paranoia are lucrative trades. Besides, everything else has been outsourced to sweatshop slave labor. Children who put in 10-hour days for pennies on the dollar. We're only several generations away from the imminent dark ages. Rules for an exquisite game, intricate with counterintuitive minutiae, all poorly elucidated by airy and arabesque theories or shelves of self-help books. Trample on fear-mongered multitudes. Animated signs that flagellate commerce into swarms of anomie. En masse mad insects consuming pollution. An economy based on debts and welts. Survey the recent days that present no heroes anywhere, only lies and political effrontery embellished with effective propaganda and meaningless glory. Strange how the vox populi, once called Diogenes mad, gone out in cloudless sunlight with a single lantern ablaze, searching for one good man. And there it is, my friends.
Love it, Philip.
Cheers, Michael.
Great,
that means the world to me, sir.
Hey, you deserve it, man. That's great. And I have to be honest with you and with a lot of the people listening. I want to say, you know, I put that cover up on social media last night, but I'm really excited about getting this book actually out into the world so it exists, and you know, all of you can be in another book together.
I'm thrilled to death to be a part of it, and I'm just thrilled to death to be here. I'm just happy to have a few friends, man.
Okay.
I love it, man. I love it. Hey.
All right. I'll see you around the trailer park, all right?
See you around the trailer park. All right.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. All right. That was Philip all the way from the birthplace of the enamel bathtub, Kentucky. Yeehaw!
That's good stuff.
Though. Nothing more Western. Than enamel bathtubs.
Well, there's a lot of thing more Western.
You know, if you just keep going west, you see everything. So let's just be honest here.
All right. All
China's
right,
pretty Western right. compared to where we are.
That it is. Or, you know, as other people say, it's the Far East.
Yeah, but from what direction? Europe?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, because it's the center of the world. I get it. Whatevs. All right. So, you know, I got to be honest. This segment's done.
Yeah.
What that means is that we're about to go to the return engagement. But in the meantime, we're going to take a slight sojourn to the Studio X. All right.
Just quick in there.
I like how we've just completely gotten rid of all pretense that we're going anywhere else. It's just
well, you know, I'm sorry. I can throw in other stuff if you'd like. It's a little more tricky.
I need a tune here real quick, so. I thought I had a moment. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. This song's called Tuning.
Me, 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 me. In the key of me, right? No.
Well, I'm a singer. Everything's in the key of me.
There you go.
It's the weather.
That's right, it does. It messes with the chords. Strings, sorry.
Okay, I think that'll work.
Okay.
All right, here we go. This one was not written by, but performed by the late, great Man in Black. Walking, looking through streets paved with gold, lifted some stones, saw the skin and bones of a city without a soul. I went out walking under an atomic sky, where the ground won't turn and the rain it burns like the tears when I said goodbye. Yeah, I went with nothing, nothing but the thought of you. I went wandering. I went drifting through the capitals of tin, where men can't walk or freely talk, and sons turn their fathers in. I stopped outside a church house where the citizens like to sit. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in it. I went out riding down that old 8th lane. I passed by 1,000 signs looking for my own name. Yeah, I went with nothing but the thought you'd be there too, looking for you. I went out there in search of experience. taste and touch and feel as much as a man can before he repents. I went out searching, looking for one good man, a spirit who would not bend or break, who would sit at his father's right hand. I went out walking with a Bible and a gun. The word of God lay heavy on my heart. I was sure I was the one. Now, Jesus, don't you wait up. Jesus, I'll be home soon. Yeah, I went out for the paper, told her I'd be back by noon. Yeah, I went with nothing but the thought you'd be there too, looking for you. Yeah, I went with nothing, nothing but the thought of you. I went wandering. All right. So that was The Wanderer, as performed by Johnny Cash, but written by U2 back in the early 90s.
Yes.
Interesting song. Anyway, it's now going to be time for us to open the phone lines for
the return engagement.
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 You know, it's almost kind of like a, I could turn that into a Mozart duet if I really wanted to.
Yeah, you probably could.
I'm working it out. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's go back. It's going to be 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Boom.
Boom.
And we're back. We got to get Draven to cut a new...
We do.
It's been a long time, dude.
We
need to freshen up a little bit. Because we've been using his thing for a while now, huh?
Well, since probably
2012?
Week two?
Did he come on week two? Like week two or
so?
three?
It was
fast back when we had all kinds of people in the studio all the time.
Yeah.
And we realized once they came into the studio, they never left. Yeah. No, that's not true.
They're hanging up in the bathroom.
That's a bunch of crap. Oh. Yeah, they just like hanging out, you know? Yeah, we should get some new stuff because, still involved, very much still involved with Draven and in the Silent Still. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that will be coming from that in 2017.
Yes.
Some big, big stuff. Album, videos, big videos, live shows, all that. Really excited to be doing all that. We've been working on this for a while now. But, hey, we're here in the return engagement. We're going to hear some new stuff. I think everybody who's lined up has already gone before.
Yeah.
So let's go right now to Lorraine in New York. Lorraine, are you there?
Hello.
Hello again. How are you?
Hello again. Hello from New York and all us wonderful New Yorkers.
Yeah.
I have a second question, and this has nothing to do with poetry. I asked you before what you thought of the Roots, the band.
Yeah.
And you all love them.
Yes.
Now, okay, Harry Connick Jr. has a show.
Yeah.
I have never heard a band that good.
As the Roots?
Do you agree, or do you...
As good as the Roots?
No, as good as... Well, yeah. It compared to the Roots, Harry Connick Jr.'s band is awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as far as... I don't know if I could say, like, you know, they're the best ever in the world, but I will throw out...
No.
I can definitely throw out that they're probably one of the best in the world.
One of the best.
Harry Connick Jr. is no joke, and he doesn't play with any guys who are jokes either.
No, he's definitely, he started piano at a very young age.
Fantastic.
He plays awesome piano. So
it's not even about starting at an early age. He has the talent and the drive and the psychological artistic frame to make it work that well, I think, too.
He does. And he's so much more likable on this show than on The Idol when he was on it.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
He just seemed to criticize everybody.
Well, that's kind of his job. But I don't watch any of those shows. I actually don't give them any credence at all. I think they completely promote a false perception of what the art is.
Really? That's interesting.
Yep. I really think that's the case. I don't watch any of those competition shows.
In the way that they don't make it to the mark, or they don't.
No, I think. Well, honestly, most of the artists that are big now, they would mm-hmm. never have made it on a show like that. And so there's these people who sit up there and criticize mm-hmm. young people who are wanting to sing songs and are wanting to, you know, and to do this stuff. It's about fame. It's not about music. It's not about the art form
right.
at all.
It's not about elevating them to being acknowledged by the world and so forth.
You think about it. Do you think John Lennon would have made it on American Idol?
Absolutely not.
No,
absolutely
first of all,
not.
He was British. But second of all,
is number one.
Right. Okay. But like Bruce Springsteen, he would have been laughed off the stage. America's Got Talent told Lindsay
Yeah, they would have given him the hook like they did the Apollo, you know?
Absolutely.
The hook. And Luther Vandross got the hook at the Apollo, and look at him.
Yeah. Well, Lindsay Sterling.
I mean, when he was alive, he was awesome.
Well, that girl, that. Lorraine, the girl Lindsay Sterling, who's a violinist, she dances while performing. She went on America's Got Talent. They told her basically it's just this is a boring act. No one cares about it. No one's going to like it. So she left and she started making videos, collaborating on videos and just putting things up on YouTube. As of this couple of years ago, she now headlines multiple nights at 6,000 to 10,000 person venues.
I believe it because I think that the people that judge them, I mean, other than Paula Arquette and maybe, I don't know.
Randy Johnson.
Else they have
Randy
a rapper.
Jackson. Randy Jackson.
Maybe,
He knows what he's.
Other than them.
But
I just can't
But
see.
The judging thing sucks anyway. Let's just stop judging people.
Yeah.
Judge thee not.
It does.
Said the
Judge
Lord.
Judge me not.
Yes.
Well,
and
my words and judge me not. Yes.
Look at my shoes and my words and judge me not. I deserve to be loved.
Don't look at me and judge me. No, look at me. See that TV ad. Look at me. Don't look at me. See me.
Don't look at me. Just adore me. Adore me. Damn it. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, now I brought you up. I'm going to bring you down. I don't know. Maybe this is something that came in my head when I was watching news. And of course, that's very depressing. So here goes. She held on to the blanket that was soiled and torn, remembering the cries when her child was born. Her pain had been muffled by noise nearby, as she quietly hummed a soft lullaby. A young boy lay lifeless, covered with blood, about 10 yards away in a ditch caked with mud. Smoke billowed forth from what once was her home. Devastation was widespread, ending not in gloom, though the town she grew up in, the people she knew, were no longer there, and the fear in her grew. Gunfire echoed somewhere in the distance by screams of those trapped by those in resistance. The ones who survived were expressions of terror. Those children who perished, what was death, an error? What could they have done to inspire such hate? Do the innocent prophesize fate? The mother's now sobbing with no one to hold her. Heard footsteps approaching, recognizing the soldier. His uniform offered much needed relief. her sorrow was silenced and welcome, but brief. No longer alone, she gave thanks in prayer. And for that brief moment, faith hung in the air. She lovingly handed her child to him. His eyes showed a kindness the war hadn't dimmed. He reached for the baby as he laid down his gun and all the chaos around him was no longer done.
Well, that was uplifting. No, no, actually.
That was uplifting.
Lorraine, that was great. I appreciate
it. That was a hoot, Lorraine.
No, no, no. I just had to say that. No, I actually really, really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to see you guys next week.
That's yes. Right. In fact,
on the telephone?
Yeah, next week is going to be our 4-year anniversary.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's right. You've been on for that. Congratulations.
That's right. We're starting on our fifth
year. Oh, that's wonderful.
And on top of that, our World Poetry Open Mic Anthology is coming out next week, too. So it's the work of a lot of the poets on the show. And that book's coming out also. God. It's really exciting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's wonderful.
And maybe I might buy some
socks.
That
shows you how many people are really into poetry, and I always thought that God left me here on earth through all my accidents, my cocaine days and whatnot, just to share my feelings with people, and that's why I'm here, and I feel very strongly about that, and here I am. So.
Well, I'm very, very happy that
you're
here to
call
us. Well, I'm
very happy. I found you guys, too, and I wish you the best. I wish you the best week, the best Thanksgiving, and I will talk to you next week.
Talk to you next
week.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Lorraine.
And a happy Thanksgiving to you. I mean, we all are a bunch of turkeys, let's face it. So.
Hey, speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. I'm two turkeys.
It,
I'm the largest, greatest turkey that has ever existed.
I bet you are.
People have never seen a turkey this big. They've never seen a turkey this big. All right, thank you, Lorraine.
I don't think I want to. I mean, I can imagine the size of your drumsticks. No, I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And I look forward to talking to you again. You make my week. You actually do.
Well,
so thank you.
You make ours, too. Thanks so much, Lorraine.
Thanks again.
All right. Bye. And that was Lorraine calling from New York. You know, I love the idea of, actually, if you're talking about whoever becomes a president, it doesn't matter what election, as a turkey, it really makes sense because someone's just about to stick their hand straight up the...
Wow.
Right? And it's kind of like a morbid puppet thing.
Which reminds me of a music video of Sledgehammer, but, you know...
I know
those were chickens.
Yeah, but hey, I'm not going to classify. I'm not going to qualify that. That makes sense to me. They're poultry.
They are poultry.
You know? Yeah, they're poultry.
Never mind. I was going to go somewhere else.
I know.
I'm so glad I didn't.
Pure poultry. Woo! All right, here we go. Let's head now to the wrist. Not the rest, the wrist. To Dennis. Dennis, how are you, sir?
Hello, sir. Is this return engagement?
this is the return.
That it is.
All right. I'm in the right place.
You are. You know, the show's moving fast tonight, but I think it's been a good one.
Yes, it has. A lot of voices, a lot of different thoughts, and a great mix, and we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I'd like to share a short poem with you that I've written. The title is Simmering Scents. Simmering on the kitchen stove, aroma to the ceiling rose, stirring long forgotten memory, lovely smell of potpourri. Holidays, those special times, we lived life in simpler rhymes. Now reminded by sense again, cloves, orange peel, and cinnamon. End of poem.
Wow, short but sweet. Thank you, Dennis.
Well, thank you. We have the holidays ahead of us, and
That's right. What
a good time it is to get together with friends and family and show that we appreciate them so much. And once again, we appreciate you so much. And we would like to thank you again, and we hope and pray that you have continue enriching our lives and your that your lives may also be enriched.
Hey, thank you so much, Janice.
Thank you so much, Janice.
Well, thank you, and God bless you all.
Bless you, too. God bless you. All right. Now, that was Dennis from the Wrist of Michigan.
It is so weird to hear it that way.
I know, but it's kind of great. You can kind of, like, mess with it a little bit. All right. So, from the Wrist.
Not yet. Almost.
Wait. Oh, okay. We're getting there.
Almost.
So from the Wrist, we travel to who's really in charge, Diane in Florida. How are you, Diane?
Can you all hear me?
I think we can, and although I might be just imagining your voice.
Oh, that's me. I'm the imagination.
That's exactly what my imagination would say.
I'm going to try doing something here real quick. Is that clear at all?
Yes.
Okay. I just turned off a little background stuff there. That might help.
That very well might have been it, actually.
Yeah, and I apologize for that. I just became aware of it.
It's okay.
It's all right, Diane.
Okay, this is an older poem of mine. It is entitled Damn Nation. Uh-oh. Dead silence. Damn Nation.
Right. Oh, actually, what I was thinking is, damn it,
yeah,
Diane.
Yeah, I should have gone on a date tonight. I don't know. Okay. Damnation. The first kiss was what she always remembered. Burning blue eyes, long hair shielding a high forehead, perfect baby lips framing a soul that would claim no other. Everything after was just an afterthought. Touches and glimpses of psych, baptism. The first night would render gray colors. All cats are gray in the dark. But the heart would render glory. Remember, it's the first kiss that always remains, a punctuation, a continuation, a hope. Long past other experiences, her life would stop and start at this moment. Transcendent liquid fire, pooled blood spilt, sins transgressed, forever promising hell. For one kiss, she surrendered, but she would do it all again. Eternity caught in a moment. A lifetime, a bottle of blood forever offered, surrendered, sundered, killed, brought to life again and killed again. Intellectuals talk about it. The young write about it. The truly alive have no need to do either. They already know they're damned. But they would do it all over again for a single moment of truth. Damnation, salvation, damnation. Full stop.
Well, damnation, Diane. I enjoyed that one.
No. The best kind there is.
That's it.
Exactly so, sir. God bless you all.
Bless you, too. Thanks, Diane. I'll say.
I'll say, too.
I'm gonna work out. Diane, just wait. I'm going to start doing my Foghorn Leghorn Obama impersonation next week, okay?
Oh, my goodness. I cannot wait.
It works.
I bet it does.
Yeah.
Do it before he's out of office.
I am so worried.
JT's like, oh, no.
It's a good thing I control the microphones.
You know, it really is. Because, you know, I have to be honest. There was someone who used to call into the show who will remain nameless. It's been a while. It's been a long time. But that was the thing I listened to and I thought, wow, he does sound like Foghorn Leghorn and Obama. It's really the most amazing speech pattern and cadence.
Oh, I love that cartoon character.
Oh, of course. He's the only one that matters.
Exactly. All right, gentlemen.
All right, thank you so
much. I won't talk to you before Thanksgiving, but you all have a blessed Thanksgiving,
hey,
okay?
We'll do. You, as you well. Too. Thank you.
All right.
Thank
be well, you. Sirs.
All right. And that was Diane all the way from Florida. You know, I was thinking about that. You know how, like, the Clash was the only band that mattered? That was their tagline?
Yeah.
Foghorn Leghorn, the only animated character that matters.
Just he's a got, weird.
He's got a, dude, who sits there and goes, we got to come up with a new character? I know, a giant chicken with a southern accent.
A giant chicken as big as the dog. And then what takes him out? A the, chicken hawk.
Oh, that's right. You know, what's the, who thought of that and thought that was a good idea?
What, the chicken hawk?
Oh, Foghorn.
Foghorn?
Yeah.
I honestly, I don't know what went on in the minds of the Warner Brothers.
He was created by Robert McKimson and writer Warren Foster, starred in 28 cartoons from 1946 to 1963 in the golden age of American animation. Yeah. And Robert McKimson directed all of those. So I think we can pretty much
okay.
directly blame him. Now, he was directly inspired by Senator Cleghorn, a blustery Southern politician played by Kenny Delmar, who was a regular character on the Fred Allen Show.
Oh,
a popular
okay.
radio show in the 1940s.
Well, then that would make a lot of sense. As a radio character and then yep. brought on to...
And many of his catchphrases were actually just adopted by Foghorn Leghorn's character.
That's
interesting.
Great. Okay.
All right, Leghorn's a breed of chicken. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't know that.
I do now.
So now you learned something on World Poetry Open Mic tonight. Leghorn is a kind of chicken which has legs, but strangely,
no horns.
No horns.
Hmm.
Interesting. All right, let's go all the way to Barbara in Connecticut to see what she makes of this. Barbara, what do you think about that?
All right, let's go all the way to Barbara in Connecticut to see what she makes of this.
Hi, guys.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Yes, I believe that is a kind of chicken.
Well, you believe it, but is it? But what do you think about it?
Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah.
The cartoon.
That's a joke. I'll say that's a joke, son. Yeah.
I always thought he was very obnoxious, and I hated those cartoons that came on with it.
You know what, Barbara? I have to be honest with you. I'm kind of along those lines, too. The thing that I thought was, if you use the accent, if you use the accent of Foghorn Leghorn, but then you do the phrasing, like Obama, you end up with something different.
A little bit.
Don't criticize my impersonations, Barbara. Come on, man only has a few things he can be proud of.
It was wonderful, Michael.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for stroking my male ego. That's what I'm all,
about. What are you guys?
Hey, actually, we're probably the least needy radio personalities I've ever met in my life. I gotta be honest with you.
Well, to tell you the truth, I've been listening tonight, and I love Lorraine. I love Lorraine so much. Lorraine is so New York.
It
actually makes me homesick to be in the city because Lorraine is so New York.
Oh, absolutely.
I miss people like Lorraine just to walk down the street and say hi to, because Connecticut is not like that, no.
Right.
People don't walk down the street in Connecticut. You drive down the street. You do not walk. You walk in the street.
Ah.
You walk in the road.
That's why the population is so low.
Down the street. Yeah. And nobody really, interacts when they walk down the road. They just walk down the road. They usually have a dog or a flashlight or something. And, yeah, it's not like New York at all.
I'm going to be honest. That sounds like hell, Barbara. That's it.
Yeah, I know. I used to live in New York and lived in Kew Gardens, which was, it's kind of like a little enclave, Kew Gardens, a little small town within Queens. And there was this two-block area where if I walked down this block, I would meet,
one person going down one set of blocks, you know, the first block, and then it's perpendicular to the next block. I'd turn and I'd meet another person going down there, and we'd start talking, and then we'd be standing on the corner and talking, and another person would come, and then there'd be this whole enclave of friends that were standing around talking. That didn't we didn't really plan to meet, but we met, you know, like on the street. And you don't do those kind of things in Connecticut. You just don't.
Ah, yeah, I see.
Okay.
Anyway, I belong to this poetry group called The Garden. And we are using prompts that are kind of interesting because sometimes they're word prompts. And sometimes this week it was a painting, Christina's World. And so they're called ekphrasic poems. I looked it up. And this one is called Thoughts on Christina's World. And by the way, Christina's World was painted by Andrew Wyeth, if nobody knows what it is. And basically, it's, if you don't know who Andrew Wyeth is, he's a painter from Maine, and his, I guess you've seen, if you haven't seen Christina's World, I'm not going to tell you because you should get the idea from my poem. Thoughts on Christina's World. A first glance at this pastoral scene, one might think it is a beautiful afternoon, and the young girl is resting on the lush grass, enjoying a moment alone as she gazes longingly up the hill to the house situated there. But if you examine it more closely, you see her hands are not resting comfortably, but instead she is holding onto the hillside with both hands and defying gravity by digging in a little to keep safe. There is a tension here as you realize she wants to climb that hill and get to the house, but something is holding her back. Maybe an invisible force that doesn't allow her to move past that point and traverse the steep slope. Her position is of someone who is straining to move. She has her hands on the ground and she's twisted, and yet she is stationary and still as a statue. One wonders how she got here, and if she can move on her own, or will she be visited by another very soon? Perhaps she is searching the house to see if that someone is going to come and help her back to the house and to tea, where she will have tiny scones and dainty tea sandwiches prepared by her mother, who is waiting for her with a steaming pot and a warm cloth to clean her hands. Maybe she will need to change because her dress is full of grass stains as she slithers over the grass slowly. Or maybe she will make it on her own, inch by inch, pulling herself up by her hands, since it seems her legs do not work very well, and she does not usually do this by herself. But today they have left her alone, and she has fallen asleep in the tall grass, awakening to the tickle from the stems of the wild grass as she opened her eyes to the darkening light blue of the sky in her vision. Maybe she fears a storm is coming, and she is trying to get back home before it happens. She is not going to wait for her companion, who always comes to help her up the rise. She will do it herself, slowly and steadily. And she looks toward the house, constantly hoping she will make it before the first raindrop falls. End poem.
Very, very nice, Barbara. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's, did you, you got an idea of the,
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That's good. That's good, because ekphrastic poems, I looked it up, ekphrastic, I think it's called, are poems about pieces of art.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I did. And I just want to tell you guys that I really love the show tonight. And that I hope you have a great Thanksgiving and that we can all find something, even though it's difficult, to be thankful for. And just, you know, like, hoping against hope for a miracle. That's all. That's all I can say.
I understand.
And my daughters say I'm crazy, but, you know, I've lived a long time and never saw, you know, anything like this. So just going to leave you with a happy Thanksgiving and let the other person come on.
All right.
Audience people, come on and talk to you later. Next week when we have our great fourth anniversary show. So excited for you guys, too.
Yes.
And to see our anthology, too. And it was great last year, so I can't wait to see this one. All right, and over and out. Good night.
Barbara. Thank you, Barbara. Have a great night. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Okay. You too. Bye.
All right. And that was Barbara from Connecticut giving us the lowdown. Letting us hear the pain.
The pain?
I've been watching The Princess Bride this week.
Oh, that's right.
Which is a wonderful film.
So fun.
It really is. Let's head to the UK to pick up a call from Titus. It's a little bit later in the morning. How are you faring, sir?
Yes, I'm still faring well, thank you.
All right, wonderful. Yes. Good to hear.
No discomfort.
That's always a good thing.
No, it's my cue for my next poem.
Ah. Oh, I see.
Yes, it's not about Philip, I promise you. Only joking, Philip. But this one, actually, it's called Ode to Discomfort. I actually wrote this in the middle of the night because September 2015 was a special month for us and honeymoon in New York. But I was suffering terrible from this rash. And it was one night that I actually wrote this. I don't know how. I don't know what the standard is, but it reads well. So I'm going to read it to you. I want to share my discomfort of that time. It's called Ode to Discomfort. And urtica, by the way, is the stinging nettle. Deftly, though, how pain again one strives. If rarely, I've compared it shows between discomfort and another ailment hives. It seems like karma that past has seen that urtica herself inflicts these wars. Once the given warning, second knives bring end to my life, it yet coheres the hours to bring the weight another yearn, to scratch again until this curse anon of mine has reached a point of no return. Battle on my mind, embroiled in madness, misery, half-hearted attempts to sleep abhor the laughter heard above sadness. This explicit means to be brave I keep, wholly wide awake I try to avoid, not waking her, my wife, she'd be annoyed, twice tonight, this too, my rival she. How lamentable a rite I've suffered, movement of the hands are drawn upon me, vacant sightings appear to be buffered. Beyond sleep as well, the mischief makers who are prone to keepers of death, aware awkwardness that dreams of these takers to places I've never been, this nightmare. Living it remains loyal, not the role given, a single word of thought though, the aims and wishes these steroids control, adrenal glands they've scattered long ago, since time before it mattered then as did these parasitic looks as what been writ, how suddenly disdain and I did swart, prevent harmony those bad histamines graze the surface to suggest we cohort, with apparel significant charge seems, found on the field of sight of what might happen on the holding back a concealment will enable how concurrent the fight can allow undercover will steal a win with slight distress caused by twilight hours are shown diminished deep within. That's complete.
Wow.
Sometimes the pain that people have, they just cannot share it with people. People can only imagine what pain is, but
yeah.
The rash was everywhere. I had a bath in water all night and It was a terrible time for me.
I can imagine. That's you know, and it really is. It's sometimes you can't explain what you're feeling. People can only kind of infer, you know, based on your expressions. And some people, I know, I'm guessing you're like this, Titus, but I know I am, and JT is as well. You can be going through pain and no one will know because you kind of get resolute and you become quiet. And it's definitely something. It's hard to understand.
And the bravest thing of all, you know people, and I won't mention names, but some poets that I know who have had a bad time, they just grin and bear it, and they make it look as if they have got no discomfort, and it's admirable of them, and I really want to praise them, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's fantastic.
They really are. They really are. That courage, I think, is important.
Anyway.
Titus, thank you so much.
Brilliant. Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. We'll talk to you next week.
Sure.
All right.
Bye.
Goodbye. That was Titus all the way from the UK. I was going to say happy Thanksgiving, but in reality, we're thankful for leaving England. So I don't think that really... I wish him... So Titus, if you're listening, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving from America here. We're not happy we left you. We're happy we left the country.
Oh.
See what I mean?
Okay.
We kind of had a tea party. And
a pretty big one.
The Tea Party wasn't really all that significant. The ripples were significant.
True.
Yes.
True.
But I mean, honestly, things like that happen a lot.
Definitely.
Right. Okay. So let's go down to the place where Greece was born. And I don't mean Greece, I mean Kentucky.
Oh. What? What?
I've been found. Waldo, been... here I am. Hey.
So I have to ask, Philip, this harkens back to probably just before the show, but how did the incense burning in the butter go?
I'm saving that for after dark, sir. Oh. I will reveal it then.
All right, fair enough.
I will say, though, there will be a new, younger Philip coming up very soon. Give me about 9 months. We're going to bake it up good, taste it. It's going to be a beauty.
Wonderful.
Mini Felipe. That's the sign of the apocalypse right there. You know, trouble.
these completely uniform, square, nicely wrapped boxes appear on the doorsteps of everyone listening to this show. And then on Christmas, they start rustling and they open themselves, and inside are Mini Felipe's yelling directions about how to cook and prepare chicken.
That's a way to make sure that Roe v. Wade stays safe, right? You know, so. That's a segue.
That's a segue.
I
want to commend you for doing your part, right, for keeping the political
so
conversation.
I'm glad you guys are in a good mood. It's good to hear you guys laugh. And that really thrills me. And honestly, too, you know, when I do the reverse the mic stuff, which I'll save for the next show if that's even still permissible, is I really am trying to do my best to, you know, make sure you guys get something back from us, too, besides just, you know, our poetry, you know, too. That's just my way of sharing is what I'm trying to say. And that's just me saying, hey, I really like you guys. And, you know, so there it is. We're going to get teary-eyed and weepy and a big hug, and we're going to feel weird and, you know, transgender or something. I don't know.
All right.
Philip, we're going to go steady. You'll get to wear my letter jacket sometime.
Oh, boy, you're all my right. BFF. I love it. All right, here we go. I'll get to it and get out of the way. Thank you so much, fellas. I do appreciate it. title, Head Like a Camera, Field Notes for Tentative Cinema. And then parenthetically, I have various sets and locations, scenes 1 through 3. Rome beneath desolate night, abandoned ruins and bombed edifices, behind fallout shelter walls, dimly moonlit enough to read the marred profanity and failed political bullshit. no such thing as a last war. Scenes 4 through 7. Behave as if a disembodied pronoun, scanning beauty and the grotesque. Carry no official credentials except one bold carte blanche, empowered as spilled virility. A noir passerby crossing charred bridges beside silhouette clock towers whose mourned hours are chimed arbitrarily as wind-swept ashes. Boundaries of the loose-holstered, patrolling midnight countries after the sky was corrupted and azure deity profaned until it resembles sludge. Scenes 8 through 10. Nearer vivid imagination than fading remembrances. Everyone of significance, the gowned wife and family, all relics dislodged in dregs and dirges. How hollow the past tense, echoing lonesome threnodies. Scenes 11 through 14. Frantic laughter chases after lightning like epiphanies descended. Ensue songs for the trespasser, a lone wandering departure toward shadow-limbed mountains, neither real nor dreamt, draped by Iodis twilight. Dumb, slumberous body, burdened with a symbol-laden mind, a camel through the needle's eye, risking visual cliches for revelations inside the labyrinth. Scenes 15 through 17. Penthouse dwelling of the nameless elite ensconced in leather-bound libraries. Goethe hung regally from oak walls, garbed in pale ripples of flowing white, pristine as a gentleman's promise, juxtaposed by long tracking shot streets where smudge-faced budding urchins learn and embrace thieving traditions among the marginalized, vanquished, and sullen impoverished. Class distinction is one colossal fence maintained at all costs in every century. And there it is, my friends.
Really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed that. And you mentioned Goethe in there, correct?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, you did.
I hope I pronounced it roughly correct.
You did. And that was I thought you had said it, but I wanted to make sure I didn't just, you know, catch it.
Oh yeah, no, you didn't imagine it.
I was reminded of a story. There's a poem of his that Schubert had turned into a song called "Von das Nachtlied," and it was something that was really striking to me that Goethe, when he was a younger man, had stayed in this inn that had a window that looked out over the forest, and he had written this poem on the wall and left and had forgotten about it. And then many years later, as an old man, came back and just randomly ended up staying in this inn in the same room.
Oh, wow, right.
He was reading the poem that was "Von der Snocklied," but now it meant something so different. Instead of looking at the sun setting over the forest, now it was the metaphor for his life and his age. And for some reason, there's something, even though you have a distinct, you know, beat quality to what you're writing, I also hear some similarities in Goethe's work with some things that you do as well. So I thought I would just bring that up. But thank you very much for the piece.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for that whole little bit there. That was unexpected. I did not know that. That's wonderful. And you've crushed me with that compliment. I'm like, oh my goodness, don't even know that. I am now being crushed. You know, it's like that kids in the hall. I crush your head.
Oh man, you mentioned kids in the hall.
Please.
Now that I know that you're familiar with Kids in the Hall, the game's going to change from here on out.
Oh yeah, I dig them Canadians, man. They're some funny boys. I'm telling you,
they definitely were.
right. Well, thank you so much. I am so happy to be back with you guys, and you really are. I have said it many times, but you're truly family to me. So,
same way.
Anyhow, enough of all that weepy stuff. Right. Hugs and love, and I will see you on the 25th. And thank you for having the cojones to do a show right after Thanksgiving Day.
Well, hell yeah, let's do it.
I tell you, that's some love right there. All right. Be well, fellas.
Hey, you too, Philip. Thanks so much. Cheers. All right, so that was Philip all the way from the Kentucky part of Michigan.
Oh,
it's getting later here.
That really threw me off.
Yeah,
okay.
See, that's called mind-bending geography. Might be another podcast we could start.
Whoa.
Yeah, see that? See how that works? All right, so we're going to go to certainly not least, but last in this line of return engagement. It's Mary in Arizona. Mary, how are you?
Are you all ready for 7?
Yeah.
We're on prime time?
You're on prime time.
You're on prime time, damn it.
Oh,
damn nation.
Don't embarrass me. Just a second. I got to turn you off.
That's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Leave,
your time. Put some pants on.
Leave that area. There. I've left the area.
All right.
Jesus Christ. Technology. What do you want to do with it?
Well, you know, you could always call a radio show on a Friday night with it.
God, isn't this lovely?
Yes.
How lovely is this? Titus across the pond.
Yeah.
People in Canada. You know, I miss Sinister and Marcos, but you know, God dang. There's always Kentucky.
That's it.
Okay. On all seriousness, I'm going to do a song I wrote. It's nothing much, but you guys inspire me. And so I've been writing, so I'm going to do a little something. What the hell? I mean, what the heck? It's 11:50 on a David Letterman show.
All right.
It's 1986. And it's called, I haven't named it yet, but I think I might have a name by the end of it. I cannot say what I do not feel, my love. I cannot tell you what I do not know. No, my heart is pure with love for you, my love. I cannot lie for you. I cannot tell you all the things you ever mean. The days will all be merry then. No, I would love to share that. I cannot tell you, you will not weep again. Or mourn, or woe. In yonder, because these things we can't get out of, if we love deeply, then we should love deeply. We should love deeply. But I'm here to tell you, you will all so likely laugh until your belly hurts the floor and take great glee in seeing and seeing some people loving love. And I can promise you, my dear one. I can promise you much. And as long as we see each other's beauty and one another's life, and as long as we see each other's beauty and one another's life, as long as the stars remain in the sky, I'll be here for you. I'll be here for you. Thank you. song.
Very
Everyone sleeping?
No, no. We're all listening intently. Thank you for
you know,
that.
It's a mellow. It was all minor. I'm a minor lover. That's all.
You're a minor lover?
That's it. I'm just a minor lover.
You see, a woman can say that. If a guy says that, it's kind of weird, you know?
I'm proud to say it, you know?
I'm a minor lover.
I can say it. I feel for all you boys. I do.
Do you? You
not
do,
really,
huh?
But, you know, I sympathize with you. How's that?
Okay. Fair.
On that note, good night.
Good night,
hey,
Mary.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All right. So, this is the last show before we hit our fourth year anniversary.
Yes.
That's insane, man. So, we're going to have a special show planned next week. One thing I'll encourage you to do is if you have any poetry about World Poetry Open Mic, or not about us, it's not about, you know,
yeah,
read about us, but about the community, about who, you know, we are, kind of what this means, feel free to bring it. You know, even if it's something old that you've run on the show before, we might have a few surprises lined up, just might. And we're going to have our party hats on, that's for sure. I'm wearing my special party pants, and we're going to have a great time. But for this show, for JT, for myself, for everybody here at World Poetry Open Mic Central, including JT's dog, Ursa, we say thank you for everything. You've created a wonderful show. Look for the podcast within 24 hours, and we'll see you next week. Good night.